This is our call with John Reese that I'm really excited about because I know quite a bit about John's launches, but I want to, there's a bunch I don't know, and I want to learn even more. So John Reese, of course, most of the people on the call, boy, John, I should have gotten an intro from you, but I'm just going to wing it here. John was relatively unknown in the marketing, in the internet marketing world, because he stayed under the radar until maybe a couple of years ago. And then all of a sudden, I think he attended a couple of conferences and opened his mouth a few times, and everyone realized he was like light years ahead of many of us, or most of us, or possibly even all of us. I know, boy, probably 3 years ago, Paul Myers, I knew I was going to a conference, and he knew John Reese was going to be there, and he said, you got to meet John Reese, because John Reese is the smartest guy online right now. And personally, when Paul Myers speaks and tells me something like that, I listen, so I introduce myself to John, and have gotten to know him over the years. He's really, his marketing prowess is just, it's stunning. And he's also, the thing that I admire most about him is he said over and over, he doesn't like to create money makers. He likes to create businesses. And so he's done an exceptional job of repeatedly doing these product launches, but then taking it beyond the product launch and turning it into a real serious ongoing business. Really happy to have you here, John. Welcome to the call.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for the nice introduction, too.
John, I was thinking it might be interesting to go through the chronology of sort of some of your launches, and starting back with your workshop, because that was a stunning launch. You know, I used to have this moniker of six figures in 7 days, and you made that look, you made me look like a pauper with your launch there. what was your, how many minutes did you take?
12.
Six figures in 12 minutes. Did you ever register that domain name?
No.
Okay, so John, can you tell me a little bit about how you set up that product launch?
Which one, for the workshop?
Yeah, because that was some amazing stuff, because you started that
sure.
build-up.
Well, basically, the formula, at least for me, for doing a successful product launch, I've done the same thing in other markets, not just in the internet marketing market, and the core foundation of creating a big launch, actually not only creating a big launch, but creating a successful business thereafter. So it's not just kind of like a one-hit wonder, but you get a residual effect after it from all your hard work and planning that goes into the product launch. But it's two things mainly. It's pretty simple. The positioning the launch to come off with a bang is all built around buzz of some kind, or, you know, favorite word, anticipation, getting people hyped and so excited about something way before they can even get it, or way before they can even learn more about it. So we can talk more about that, because there's a sweet science, so to speak, involved with basically spoon-feeding people something, almost like pouring small amounts of gas on a fire and making it bigger and bigger. So one of the core concepts or fundamentals that I use with a lot of my marketing is the whole concept of momentum, and that goes into everything. That goes in not only to building up the buzz or building up the anticipation up until the product launch, so it goes off with a bang, but having the product launch carry over the momentum for you then to grow and work a sustainable business thereafter, not only with that product but with future products. So in the case of the workshop, that was pretty much the first time I ever offered anything related to internet marketing, basically the first time I sold anything related to internet marketing to this market. And basically how I positioned myself for that was I basically built relationships, I went to some seminars, I met people, I literally helped people for free for a couple of years, you know, just basically earning my stripes, so to speak, before trying to collect and make any money. You know, I wanted to show people up front that I knew what I was talking about. I could really benefit others by sharing some of the things that I had discovered and worked hard to learn in my own business, my own businesses online, and doing different things. So laying the groundwork of basically giving before receiving was a big part of why that was successful. And then ultimately that carried over and why the Traffic Secrets launch as well was so big, following the same principles. But building up to the workshop launch, I mean, there are a lot of things at play. I don't know where you want to go next with talking about, you know, scarcity and elitism and social proof and a lot of other things that went into it.
Well, I'm really interested because I know, let's see, that launch, if I remember right, the seminar was in late March, so your launch was probably sometime in February, and this would be of 04. But I think, like, in the fall before that, you sort of teased your list with the, you said you're going to be doing some type of a seminar or workshop, and it might be a teleseminar based, or it might be live, but it's going to be really small, and you sort of had some teases there, and I'm not even sure if at that point you knew what your workshop was going to look like, what format it would be. But
I didn't know the format, but I had a strategy for several months out. And so, yeah, the first part of it was just kind of leaking a little bit of information to first of all, just gauge the interest at all to see if anyone was interested. But the double-edged sword, if you will, of doing that, also started building the anticipation for those that were interested to learn more about it. So it's critical when you build up anticipation for a product launch that you don't tell the whole story in one shot when you're trying to get people into it. You kind of feed them along and feeding their appetite for the big feast that will occur on the product launch. So several months in advance, you know, I started laying the groundwork for, you know, but also besides just helping people at seminars and meeting people, I was also publishing my free newsletter and just teaching for free and giving for free in that.
And then you did the famous six-hour teleseminar call. I know that created huge buzz.
Yeah, I did several things. Several people asked me to do interviews, and I just gladly did them. I had nothing to sell at the time. You know, and then I did the one with Frank Kern, which you're talking to, that turned into like a six-hour call that was just really great content. And it was just him and I just shooting the bull on the phone for a while just because at that time we were supposed to go down and meet with Gary Halbert, and then he couldn't do it and canceled on us, so we were like, what are we going to do? Frank was visiting me, and I said, so we came up with this idea just to do this tele seminar for our customers just for fun, just to have something to do. And it turned out great. But, yeah, all those things built up the buzz for me, and people were like, hey, you know, this guy has shared some great stuff. I would like to learn more. And so it kind of just set the groundwork for me selling people something.
And then you gradually released a little information at a time through your newsletters, through teleseminars leading up to that launch, you know, where you were just, people were wondering, what's the format going to be? Is it going to be a teleseminar? Is it going to be live? And so that's your don't tell the whole story. And it really works well. I mean, that's something I've been sort of teaching on these calls is, as part of the pre-launch sequence, you're gathering data to define the product. I mean, that's, I think, what you were doing to an extent.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if anyone wants to become a really great marketer, a really strong marketer, I think one of the best things they can do, and this is what I did years ago, and this is why I think that I'm pretty good at what I do, and that is to study storytelling, okay? And not only, and this probably sounds real obscure, people are going, what the hell is he talking about? But study storytelling, what makes up a good story. If you study storytelling, there are several books out there. There's one by a guy named Robert McKee, McKee, and the book is actually called Story. That's it, and it's considered the Bible for many people in Hollywood for writing screenplays and constructing a script to create a great story that they're going to make a movie from or even to write a novel from. But if you study storytelling, not only can you become a solid copywriter – and learning how to tell stories in your copy. But storytelling in and of itself, and what makes a good story, lends itself perfectly to marketing and marketing strategy. And if we think about how product launches relate to a good story or a good movie, you can see a lot of these things. Like, for example, if you think of the product launch, the launch day itself, as the end of the movie, the climax of the movie, you know, that ultimate high, the big finale, that will be the product launch. Well, if you look at the story, along the way during that story, before the end of the movie, before it comes to an end, this, you know, great finish, which should be the product launch, there are ups, emotional ups and downs along the way. Little things that get you excited and then keep you interested, get you excited, keep you interested. And it just builds and builds and builds. The momentum builds if it's a good story. You know, we've all seen, of course, crappy movies, but the good ones that keep you locked in your seat and, you know, on the edge, and you just can't wait to find out what happens next. It's the same psychology that if you can adapt that to marketing can make you a fortune. So you follow the same thing. You give a little bit more information. You build up some intrigue about something, but you don't show them what – you don't give them the end of the story until the product launch. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's this roller coaster of emotions. It's the opening scene of the movie is what sucks you in and will get you to stay and really become involved in the movie. Well, the opening scene is the first time you ever leak out information about what it is that you're going to launch. And if we're in marketing terms and how it relates to the process, it has to be obviously very benefit-driven. What's it going to do for them? It's not about, hey, I've been, you know, sitting in my underwear and I made this really cool blue box. I can't tell you what it'll do for you, but I made this blue box. It's not so much that. It has to be more hinting about what the benefit will be to them if they're lucky enough to be able to look inside the blue box whenever the blue box is made available.
And at whatever price the blue box costs.
Right.
It's sort of funny that you mentioned the storytelling because I haven't used that analogy or that, and that analogy, but I did, I think in our last call, I talked about the idea of the timeline of a novel. I remember back in, you know, advanced composition in 11th grade when they gave us the plot of the novel and they showed it on like a 2D graph and it started off at the very bottom and the slope gradually rose up and then it got steeper and steeper and steeper and steeper until you get to the climax of the novel and then, you know, with two pages left, then it falls off at the end. And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's creating a story. And it's almost like every little piece that you put out of the launch is a story within a story. And, you know, and it's just contributing. It's almost like we, you and I have talked about this. It's like a soap opera. And every piece builds on the prior piece, but it's also every piece has got all those elements built into it.
One of the important things about strategy, and, you know, and it goes along with product launches and everything else, is that anytime you do anything in marketing, and this goes right in with building up for product launch, every move you make needs to have two things, timing and purpose. Timing and purpose. You don't just do things for the sake of doing them. If you were playing a game of chess, you don't just move the pawn to get it out of the way, you know, to bring another piece out to be able to do damage. The pawn has purpose, and it will later in the game, otherwise you're going to get killed. And in marketing, especially in building up like for a product launch is a major strategy, everything you do along the way before your launch needs to have a purpose, but it needs to occur at the right time. So when we talk about that timeline, like of storytelling and the ups and downs and when things need to be, in order to make the maximum amount of money from a product launch and having a big bang, you need to have a calculated plan, and the actions that you take along that plan need to happen at specific times. So it needs to be, solid timing for your move. So that's something everyone should write down and just think about on their own and however that comes across to them. Timing and purpose. It's very, very important. You know, many people probably will listen to some of the things you're teaching them, Jeff, and just go, oh, all you need to do is tease the list, say it's some kind of scarcity thing, you know, get some partners on board or just mail to my own customer list and just say it's coming soon next Friday and just blast out to my list that I'm going to be successful. It's not enough to know, you know, the pieces to the puzzle. You have to know when to use the pieces to the puzzle. So people need to realize that when they start doing all this, they need to think about the timing of it as well as the purpose of it. Does that make sense, or did I get off on
something? No, that absolutely makes sense. You know, it reminds me, I mean, since you were so successful with Traffic Secrets in such a public way where everyone could watch the whole process and everyone got all those emails from all your partners. Now everyone's trying to, you know, do this, and they think it's just about, you know, anticipation's a buzzword. So everyone, you know, anticipates.
Right, right.
And so they'll mail their list, and it'll say, like, you know, right, it's just like you said, Friday they'll send out something that says, okay, we've got a new product coming Monday, so watch for my announcement on Monday.
And right, right.
That's like the most useless email in the world.
It's funny you should mention that. I saw a post on a forum actually last night where someone said, yeah, Reese is obviously very talented and stuff, and he had that million-dollar day, and he's successful. But the fact of the matter is, if I had a $1,000 product and I could offer a $500 commission to affiliates, I could do a million-dollar day too.
Wrong.
To which my response was, people have offered $500 commissions on products before that launch, and it's been done after that launch. And I haven't heard of anyone, aside from Frank Kern and Ed Dale, with their Underachiever launch, coming even close to doing those kind of big sales.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. There's more to it than just give a big commission, get some JV partners to mail, and everything takes care, you know, and say, yeah, I'm going to mail you next week. There's a lot more to it in order to really have a big product launch.
Right. I know, I mean, I love your copy, John. I know sometimes you have other people write copy for you, but I've seen your copy. I know you write great sales copy. And I know that you focus on, I mean, personally, I love the reason why copy. And I know that you live and breathe the reason why copy. And, you know, doing one of these product launches, there has to be a reason why. You set every piece of it. Like you said.
Yeah, it has to have a purpose.
Yeah, it has to have the purpose. And you have to tell people what the purpose is. So saying, I'm going to send you another email next week, you really need to open it. Well, there's no purpose behind it.
Right.
I mean, it's stupid. And, you know, that's one
and
thing.
And a lot of people see right through it. A lot of people, their first thought is when they scan that email is, he's telling me now that he's going to sell me something on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost all they get out of that message.
Mm-hmm.
Check your email Monday for my sales pitch.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of how it comes across.
And that's really what it's saying. I mean, it really is. It's almost like, I mean, to me, the whole launch, it's like the story within the story. And it's what I've been stressing on these calls is, it's like you have to look at the entire launch as one big, like almost like, one big sales letter. And it might be 4 or 5 or 6 weeks long. I know some of yours have been, and mine have been that long. And it's almost like, you know, you start off with a headline, and then you go to benefits, and you go after objections. But it's like you got to look at it as one big process that all fits together. And every piece is, like you said, got the timing and the purpose.
Yeah, it's just one big plan that works together. And you have to start with A. You don't start with D, E, or F, or Z in some people's cases that just want the instant gratification of getting paid. You have to start at A and do all the things along the way, and then hopefully, you know, reach your goals when you get to the end, when you get to execute it. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a process.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you a lot of the triggers you like to use, well, they're the same triggers I like to use. I mean, you like to turn things into an event. And obviously, your workshop, the workshop itself was an event, but the launch was an event. I mean, you had people just keyed up to order that thing as soon as it was ready to go. You obviously had scarcity built into that thing because you were, one, you know, since it was an event, it had a deadline. Obviously, you know, it was whatever, March 16th, so you had to sign up by then. But within that, you had additional scarcity, and you mentioned the word elitism earlier today. Can you talk a little bit about that, how you built that in there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody ultimately, you know, wants to be a part of something important, or they want to be a part of something or have access to something that most other people do not. So if it's for business and marketing, it's something the competitors don't. You know, if it's in some kind of a sport, it's something that our competitors don't that will give them the edge. You know, if it's something in a hobby, it's to hopefully be able to let them raise their skill level to be the best person in their hobby or one of the best. So it's just a natural part of human psychology to want to excel and to want to have stuff that other people don't have. And so as far as that workshop was concerned, it was the most simplistic elitist play of all, basically. Only so many people would be let in. If you don't act fast, you'll be out. And so that was pretty simple to do because the demand was, so high. And I'll go ahead and give this little secret out, too. Because you're a good friend, and you obviously helped me a lot with my launch, I'd like to return the favor and help, your customers that are listening, on this workshop. And I'll tell you some things I've never even talked about. There are a few things that you can do to basically fuel the fire, if you will, to build up the anticipation. One of the biggest things that I've come to really, really put a lot of weight into and a lot of power into for marketing is the whole element of social proof. And I mentioned it briefly before when I wrote the little report that talked about my million-dollar day and how it was done. Mm-hmm. It didn't get a chance to go into too many details. But one of the things I did, which really helped the Traffic Secrets launch, was driving people to my blog where they could comment. The same thing would work if you had just a forum. It's not necessarily the blog format that did anything different, but it's driving them somewhere where your customers can comment about their excitement. So when you have that at all, and I had the buzz building about my workshop in other people's forums, so that's how I got that effect. Mm-hmm. But I really used that effect, I'm not trying to get away from that workshop launch, but just talking about this for a minute, I really built up that effect for Traffic Secrets, and that was one of the strategies that I came up with. You're the one that taught me to turn things into an event, and then I just took that and kind of evolved it and ran from it using different things. Mm-hmm. But the social proof thing is huge because not only do you build buzz by sending them messages, building up the story and getting them excited, but you add to the buzz by allowing them to read about other people that are also getting excited about the same thing. Even if they're not, they can start to get excited about it just because of other people's excitement. It's kind of like how laughter is contagious. If somebody laughs at something and you didn't laugh, sometimes it makes you laugh, right?
Great.
Well, anticipation can be the same way. Someone's really excited about something, and they're just talking about it, I can't wait for this. Even if you weren't, it's hard to keep yourself from getting sucked in and getting excited as well. Mm-hmm. So social proof is really big. Anytime you can put into play pieces of the puzzle along the way about, you leading up to your product launch, driving your customers to an area where they can talk about it, for the workshop as well as for Traffic Secrets, people were basically, it was basically just this almost like mass hysteria that fed on itself. You'd have people saying, oh, I can't wait for the product. I don't even need to see the sales letter. I want to be the first to buy it. Mm-hmm. And then, one person would say that, and then somebody else would go in, me too, I'm going to get it on the first day. And then somebody else would come along and see those two people, and they would post, and then other people would post. And before you know it, literally before the Traffic Secrets launch, and people can go back on my blog in the archives and look, literally had like hundreds of people saying they couldn't wait for that day that it was released. Mm-hmm. And when you have that kind of social proof of tons of people saying it, it only lends itself to making other people get excited.
Right.
But let me mention what I was going to say that I haven't really talked about much before. And this is one of the things I hadn't really talked about, I wanted to share. Now, one of the things you can do that really builds excitement, and it's kind of like I would consider it like pseudo-social proof, if you will. When you're mentioning to your list, this is coming, here it comes, or whatever else, you want to elicit feedback, solicit feedback from your list, any way you can, to get people kind of interacting with you during the process. Like if you have any questions about this, or if you have experience with this, whatever. You want to get people to contact you about it in some way. And then here's what you want to do. You want to take that communication and use it to build more anticipation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you got a few people from your list contacting you saying, oh, you know, it'll happen anyways even if you don't ask for it. They say, oh, I can't wait for you to release this product or that product or whatever else. Then you can legitimately email your list the next time and say, I am getting bombarded with emails about this new product. Here's one of the emails I received.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can address that email. That's great use of social proof.
Right.
Rather than you just saying, you know, this thing is so great, you're dumb if you know, you're crazy if you miss out on it. You want to try to do that if you can, and basically demonstrate that people are hot for it by using some of the comments or questions that you've gotten and then addressing them and using it in such a way to build the anticipation even further. Make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's basically just like hitting a beehive with a broomstick.
Right. I mean,
just whacking it again and again and again and stirring those bees up.
John, I could definitely see you doing that. I could see you as a 12-year-old kid just messing with the beehive and not letting up.
No, I would never do that because I've never seen a beehive. But wasp nests, that's a different story.
Okay.
I used to squirt them with squirt guns and then run as they got all pissed off. But that's a fall for another day.
Yeah, knowing you, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Have a pool nearby to jump into. You know, the way you used the blogs, your blog there was, and you're right, it doesn't have to be a blog. But, you know, it could have been a forum. But the way you used that was brilliant. And the thing I thought was really funny in the aftermath of Traffic Secrets where, you know, you launched that and you know, you impressed a lot of people mightily. You made a lot of people happy with your product. And you also seemed to draw the wrath of a lot of jealous people. The blogging, I heard from some bloggers, you know, the blogging, some people that are big in the blogging community and you and I know the blogging community is all, you know, networked and God bless them. But anyways, you know, sometimes they get a little high and mighty. And I remember seeing a comment by some blogger.
I saw someone say, that was his secret weapon. If it wasn't for blogs, he wouldn't have done the million-dollar day. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, I actually saw someone say, well, you know, he saw your report on the million-dollar day, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, I saw his report. He talked about his blog. Well, I went to his blog. He only had, like, a few entries, so he doesn't even have, like, a really active blog or anything. And I'm like, oh, you idiot. You just completely don't get it. I mean, he even told you in his report what he used it for. He said social proof. And
yeah, the whole blog thing is kind of silly. Like, I saw someone make some comment about me. It's like, he doesn't even really have a blog because he doesn't post to it every day.
Right.
Who said you have to post to a blog every day?
Right.
I could post to a blog once every 5 years. It's still a blog. The blog is the format, not the frequency.
Yep.
Just because some internet nerds post their blogs every 5 minutes about them, you know, opening a can of Cheese Whiz for their nachos that they were going to make for lunch when they came home to watch Flintstones cartoons on their lunch break. That's not my problem. So you can use a blog in many ways, even if you don't have, you know, the time to post to it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just post to mine whenever I get a chance, and, you know, I say to people, it's like, you know, it's free content.
Yep.
You enjoy it when I publish it. It's not like I'm asking you to camp out at the blog and just sit there and waste all your time waiting for a post.
Yep. And then, of course, you know, when you post, it's just an invitation to your raving fans to come on and give you some more of the positive social proof.
Right.
So, yeah. And that was great. You know what I did on my last launch was with my blog, and frankly, I hadn't used a blog until I saw you do it. And it's funny because, well, first, I did get one comment, like, you know, 3 days before my last launch, and it goes back to something you said of, I just want to buy it, you know, just show me where to buy it. The whole entire comment, it was all in lowercase, and I don't think the guy left his name, so it sort of looked a little surly, and it just said, just make sure I get one. I mean, that was just like the greatest comment ever in the world. It's like, just make sure I get one. And
well, the great customers are when they say, it doesn't matter what it is that you come out with, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the momentum I was talking about. Once you come out with good products and you treat people right and you deliver good value, and that's what you have to do if, want to be successful doing information products,
right.
Right. You'll get people that will just buy everything you ever create, and that's pretty powerful, and it's a pretty great feeling that you come out with such good stuff that they'll buy it sight unseen. No sales letter. They don't even need to know. They just, here's where to send the check.
Yeah. Well, I think you're one of the things you wrote in one of your newsletters, which I'm sure you'll remember, I think was very misunderstood, and it was basically you said crap sells.
Right.
And I know what I think you meant by that is, you know, stop waiting for perfection and just get something done and get it out. But I think a lot of people took that as I can just put junk out and it'll sell and I'll be just fine.
That's exactly right. It had nothing to do about the quality of the product. It was in reference to perfectionism and how people spend all their time trying to make their product perfect before they launch it. It's like Dan Kennedy once said really well, it doesn't have to be good, just good enough. And that's a very powerful statement.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, absolutely perfect 1,254 pages of content that fills every single margin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to write for 4 years to come up with a product that people will be thrilled with. You know, you don't do it in 2 days, but unless you're Jimmy Brown, that is. that guy's prolific writing products, but many, many hours of writing in a row. But anyways, that article was basically about, you know, every day that you know, a piece of crap product, and I'm not encouraging to create crappy products, but a crappy product that's launched will make more than a near-perfect product that's never launched every single time.
Right.
And that's what people have to understand.
Right.
If you're doing this to make money, which I'd be surprised if anybody, you know, wasn't, that's what this game is all about, let's face it, you're taking money out of your pocket for every additional week that goes by that you're not positioned to launch your product, period. Obviously, you don't want to put out crap and ruin your reputation or keep your customers from buying things ever again, but there's a line you have to draw in the sand where you have to basically say, look, I put enough of my heart and soul into this to make it a pretty solid product. I could spend the rest of my life trying to perfect it, but it's not going to make me any money until I start selling it. Doesn't mean you can't improve it later. You know, and that was my point of that article and my statement of when you launch anything, that's the worst it's ever going to be,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to a sales letter and testing. That's the worst it's ever going to be. So no matter what you put up now, even if it's the worst sales letter you've ever written, over time, as you improve it and test things and make it better, it's just going to get better and better. But, yeah, you're right. In this business, being a perfectionist is the kiss of death.
Yeah.
It will take so much money out of your pocket, you know, just by trying to do things perfectly. You know, it's funny, when I finally launched my workshop, I really wasn't ready to do it. You know, I'd been taking notes about what I would share for months, but I wasn't quite ready yet to launch it. And I think that a lot of it goes with that, though. A lot of it isn't so much about being a perfectionist. A lot of it's just about being insecure. A lot of times we don't launch stuff because we're scared.
Right.
You know, we I call it kind of the lottery ticket mentality for a lot of, you know, anyone that's, most of the entrepreneurs listening to this and, you know, involved in this workshop can probably relate. We've all gone through different biz ops and tried different things that make money. And, you know, we bought this course or that course. And when we spent the money buying these things that promised us to make us a bunch of money, we got this warm, fuzzy feeling when we made the purchase. And then it quickly wore off when we probably didn't take any action. And then eventually we saw another course and we bought it. And for a brief moment, it gave us this warm, fuzzy feeling. You know, you take that course, you stick it on the shelf, and it still makes you happy to have it because it represents hope. That's what it represents, is hope. It's like buying a lottery ticket for this, you know, weekend's lottery, if you have the lottery where you live.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like never looking in the newspaper to see the numbers. Mm-hmm. So for as long as you hold the ticket and don't actually look to see if you lost or not, there's still that hope that maybe you'll get rich, maybe you'll make money. Well, product development can be the same way. You may have this product, but you haven't launched it yet, and you're just, you know, it's just you put it aside maybe and start working on something else. It's because you're afraid. It's because you know the moment you go to launch it, that's the true, that's, you know, the truth the truth comes out to see how much you're going to make from it or not. But people, I mean, if I can give anyone any advice at all, you just have to get it out there and start making money from it. Again, it doesn't have to be good, just good enough. Mm-hmm. Get your products to the point where you're pretty happy with them, knowing that a future version you'll make even better, you know, and create some ideas for stage two or version two of the product. But get it out there. Get it launched. Follow exactly what Jeff's teaching. Follow the steps. Build up the anticipation for it and launch that sucker. Make some money from it, and then build the momentum on the launch to build up the launch for a second version or for a complementary product or for another back end to it or you know, or something else. But, yeah, every day that goes by that you don't just launch that product is, you know, is another day that you're going to go without that money.
Yep. And so talk about that momentum a little bit, because you, I mean, I just like, it's just fantastic to look, you know, March of 03, you do a workshop that created huge buzz that set you up both in terms of a product and in terms of the buzz for Traffic Secrets, which was, you know, August 17th, a day that's just burned into my psyche, August 17th, 2004, huge buzz, and that just set you up for the Reese Report, which I think was January of this, let's see, January of 05, right?
Right.
And then that even set up, to an extent, your relaunch of Traffic Secrets. I mean, you know, the momentum and the way you've played it out is just...
Well, everything built off the workshop. You know, building up the anticipation to get people to want to go, and then, of course, delivering good content and good value for those people just carried over, and, you know, for as long as I want to teach in this marketplace, you know, it will just carry me forward probably forever. And that's the powerful thing about momentum if you do things right.
Mm-hmm.
You get that residual effect, that residual value almost forever unless something dramatic changes. And so it's very important. That's why you want to do things right. You want to build up the buzz for a big product launch. You want to get things to go out with a bang, because the bang is heard long after the day that it, you know, that it's made.
Yep. And you deliver great product each step of the way.
Absolutely. But I imagine 5 years from now, people will still refer to August 17, 2004.
Absolutely. And it's funny you talked about the buzz and. I mean, you had the blog going, but on August 17th, it's like the internet marketing world stopped and watched.
Yeah, it was pretty insane.
It was.
I knew that it was going to be a pretty crazy day, but it was nuts. I mean, I couldn't turn around without seeing people talking about it on forums or getting people's newsletters, or just everything fell into place. The timing and purpose, everything fell into place, and it was just a monster.
So can you talk about how you put it together so well with your partners, both how you got those partners to promote for you, how you coordinated it? It just all came off so well.
Well, the partner stuff was actually probably the easiest part of it all, and in two parts. One part of the partners, I had existing relationships from putting in my time, so to speak, and meeting people at seminars or just exchanging emails with folks online or talking on the phone, people I'd never met in person. And then there was another good portion of my affiliates, people that I didn't even know that ended up promoting the product. But the biggest thing I did back then, and not many people really did this. So a few people did, you know, with some of the products and some of their better partners, but not many people really did this. I literally... you know, contacted a couple hundred different partners that I identified in the market and sent them a copy of the course for free. And in many cases I FedExed it to them. So, and of course this is, you know, a rare exception. Not everyone has to invest this kind of money, and I don't suggest it, depending on your market, obviously depending on the price of your product. But for this particular case, you know, I probably spent $20,000 just to get my product into the hands of potential partners.
Wow.
And I gave them a copy of this $1,000 product that I was going to sell. So technically speaking, my giving that, some people would look at that as I potentially lost $200,000 in potential product sales by giving it to them and not having them buy it. Many of them would have bought it.
Right.
But I knew that the distribution was what was important, getting access to their customers and their lists. And for what it was going to cost me, it was a pretty inexpensive investment. So first and foremost, giving them the copy of the product, letting them have it completely free, and even having the mindset that not all of these people are going to promote it. Not all of them did. Many people got my product for free and didn't do anything at all for me, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I even had many people that said, I probably can't, like, I emailed them first to see if they were interested in to get their address to send the product. I even had someone say, I don't think I can promote it. I'm doing my own product launch, around that time, or I'll be caught up with it, so I probably can't promote it. And so my response was, well, that's okay. I will send you my product for free anyway. And if you can promote it down the road, that would be great. If not, that's okay too. And in this particular case, I won't mention who this is, but in this particular case, that person ended up promoted it later and probably made me about $10,000 in profit. So, and what we're talking about here is very simple, the law of reciprocity. You giving someone a product, and handling it right with your communication beforehand to make sure that they want it, goes a long way with them returning the favor to promote it for you. And then, of course, when that product is concerned, the compensation was enticing, almost a $500 commission. Mm-hmm. But I've done this kind of stuff with other markets with smaller price points, so it's not necessarily about just offering a huge commission. It's positioning the offer and the partnership to being something that's beneficial to them. You always have to think of what's in it for them.
Right.
If your mind isn't always focused on what's in it for them, you're screwed when it comes to joint venturing or leveraging the resources of other people. You cannot think of yourself at all. You cannot think, gosh, I can't give this guy my product because I could sell this guy my product. You can't think that way.
That's so much, when I spend time with you, so much of, I think, your success is all just based on your mindset. And, that's an example of your mindset. It's not a scarcity-driven mindset. It's like, no, we're going to make this a bigger pie for everyone.
Look, my mindset is really none of your business, Jeff. I'm just joking. No, exactly. And what you're talking to is basically the whole scarcity versus abundance mentality. The scarcity type person says, gosh, I can't go and give my product to, other people because I'll be losing money. Or, gosh, I can't go, promote someone else's products because then if my customers go and spend money with them, that's money they would have been spending with me. And that's just moronic.
Right.
The other side of the coin is the abundance mindset, realizing that if I go and help others, it's only going to help me. If I go and help other people succeed in their business or my partners succeed, it's only going to come back to me. And even sometimes, even if it doesn't come back monetarily, it's still going to make the world a better place, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset you just have to have. If you're always thinking of trying to do well for others, it's only going to benefit you in the end. People will line up around the block to do business with you. If you treat customers that way and you over-deliver, people will line up around the block to give you more money.
Well, that's the end of this first part of the recording with John Reese. Continue on to the second disc where John's got all kinds of great additional insights, things like using PDF reports within your launch, how to get your joint venture partners to bundle additional bonuses with your offer, how to work with merchant accounts, red flags for merchant account providers if you're going to run these big dollars through, how he relaunched Traffic Secrets, quite a bit on anticipation. There's all kinds of stuff on that second disc. So go and grab that disc number 2 of this interview with John Reese. Pop it in your player. Grab a pad of paper so you can take notes and sit back and listen to it because it's got some incredible gems of wisdom and you're going to really enjoy it.